Hello, former NC Elijah David Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 15, 2017, on this Tuesday, 26, 2021. We will show the first service today with a song entitled Wonderful Peace. It's a celestial exchange in unceasingly falls. For my soul, like an infinite charm. Peace be, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Keep all the masculine forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have, this wonderful peace. Very deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away. For the years of eternity, Lord, peace, deep, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep all from my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, I'm resting tonight in this wonderful peace. Rest and sleep me in Yahshua's control, for I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweet call of my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, and it thanks when I rise to the city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that was slain of the song which the ransom will sing, and that heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Also are you here without comfort or love? My rushing down the rough path of time. If you ask your friend, the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept the sweet peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Part 7, Raise Him Up. We're going to go to Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 33, by Viti Hata. We're going to first read a scripture taken from Ezekiel 23, verse 22. Therefore, Oholabah, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them again against thee on every side. Now this Oholabah, translated into the New Testament language, or our day, would mean a Seventh-day Adventist church. Okay. Oholabah, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. Now it says the enemy has come in and taken you over, as the Seventh day Adventist. Them Jesuits of the General Conference leadership has taken you over. They're a Oholabah. You're a Oholabah, and they've taken you over. They've infiltrated you. And he said, now, they're going to destroy you. They've alienated you from Yahweh, and now he's going to alienate you from them, because they're going to destroy you. Now, I want to go to get V.T. Hollis' explanation on this for Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 33. And he's dealing with the dispersion, the time, and the deliverance, the spoil of spoils taken by the Lamb, and the weak nations see Edom perish, desert blossom, and a highway to Zion. Now pay attention here. It says that the prayer thought is taken by Ellen G. White from the Mount of Blessings, page 190. Necessity supplied. That's the name of the prayer thought. Our necessities are supplied. He said, every promise in the word of Yahweh furnishes us with the subject matter for prayer, presenting the pledged word of the Yahweh as our assurance. Whatever spiritual blessing we need, it is our privilege to claim through the Yahshua. We may tell the Yahweh with the simplicity of a child exactly what we need. We may state to him our temporal matters, asking him for bread and raiment as well as for the bread of life and the robe of the Yahshua's righteousness. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, and you are invited to ask him concerning them. It is through the name of the Yahshua that every favor is received. Yahweh will honor that name and will supply your necessities from the riches of his liberality. Let us now summarize what we should pray for this afternoon. We need to pray for solid faith and the assurance that regardless what spiritual and temporal blessings we may need, it is our privilege to go to the Yahweh with the simplicity of a child and claim these blessings in the name of Yahshua. We need to pray for help to take Yahweh at his word. Pray for a realization that he means just what he says when he promises to honor the name of Yahshua and to supply our necessities from his immeasurable riches. End of the prayer thought. We're going to go now into number 33, Time of Greetings, Volume 1, by Vicky Hotter. He, March 1947, he delivered this. And he says that he's taken his information from chapters 31 and 32 of the Isaiah. In these chapters we shall see the cause of Zion's captivity by the Gentiles, their time limit, and answer for Israel's deliverance. Alright. Isaiah 31:1-4. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help and stay as horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Yahweh, yet he also is wise, and will bring evil. He will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not Yahweh, and their horse is flesh and not spirit. When the Yahweh shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. For thus hath the Yahweh spoken unto me, like as a lion and a young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Yahshua of the host come down to fight for Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof. And this Mount Zion is the house of David. Mount Zion is the 12th hour. This is who we are. And when it says he's going to fight for the hill thereof, all right, let's now go to Ezekiel. Let's go to Psalm 68. Let's read about that hill. Let's see how fast we can get there. It says 68, start with about verse 15. It says, the hill of Yahweh is as a hill of Bashan, and a high hill as a hill of Bashan. Now this is Mount Zion at the 12th hour, a hill. This is not the hill of Gilead, the one that I came out of. This is not the hill of Carmel, the one that Rose Johnson came out of. And Vicki Hollis came out of the hill of Bashan. So now it says the hill of the Yahweh is as the hill of Bashan. So apparently, Yahweh's hill started with Mount Carmel. And then it went to Mount Gilead. And now it's come to the Mount Zion, the house of David. It's come to the house of Yahweh, which is the house, same thing as the house of David. And then it goes on and says in Psalm 68:16, why leap ye high hills? This is a hill that the Yahweh desires to dwell in. Yea, the Yahweh will dwell in it forever. Let's do that again. Why leap ye high hills, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead? You were the highest hills in the Adventist Church and the Adventist movement from 1844 to 2003. You were the highest hills. It says, why leap? Why are you leaping? What are you claiming? Are you claiming you're the last church? You're the last movement? Are you claiming to be that you have the last prophet? That there's nothing else to come after you? So this is the hill which the Yahweh desire to dwell in. Yeah, he will dwell in it forever. Let's do that again. Why leap ye high hills, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead? For this Mount Zion at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill of Texas is the hill, and it's definitely named Liberty Hill. This Mount Zion at the 12th hour is a Liberty Hill. That the Yahweh desires to dwell in, that the Yahshua desires to dwell in. He's the one's going to come and take charge of this kingdom right here in Liberty Hill. This is which the Yahshua desires to dwell in. Yea, he, Yahshua will dwell in it forever. Okay, then it goes on to say in Psalm 68:17, it says the chariots, in other words, the flying saucers from heaven, are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. How many thousands of angels is it? Go to Daniel 7 and find out. It mathematically equates into 100 million. 20,000? And a chariot can be, it can be 50 miles around. One of those chariots, it can be a small planet. Well, it can hold millions of angels just in one chariot, if need be. But he's going to bring down 20,000 chariots, flying saucers. Yahshua is among them as in the Sinai, in the holy place. Now, not the most holy, but in the holy place, as the high priest. So he comes down as prophet, priest, and king. As a king, he executes judgment. As a priest, he mediates on the saints' behalf, not the sinners. He mediates on the saints' behalf because they've already come through the Passover and the Pentecost. They've already come through that. But if they do sin, as it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate. So, if you don't sin, don't worry about it. But if you do sin, you do have a mediator, an advocate, that's in the holy place. So that's sold out here in Psalm 68:17. Okay? Thou hast ascended on high. Now, David's talking about Yahshua has ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Okay. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Yahweh Elohim might dwell among them. Blessed be the Yahweh who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the Elohim of our salvation. Let's do it again. Blessed be the Yahshua, the Son, the High Priest, the Prophet, the Priest, and the King, who daily loadeth us with the benefits, even the King or the High Priest of our salvation, Selah. Uh-huh. He said, he that is our King is a, or he that is our Savior is the Savior of the salvation, the plan of the salvation of above the everlasting covenant of the Savior, Yeshua. And unto the Yahweh, the Father, the Yahweh belongeth to issues from death. It says, but Yahweh, here in Psalm 68:21, says, but Yahweh shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp is such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. So all day long, he'd been trespassing for 33 years, but that wasn't enough. He hadn't yet filled his cup up, so he finally fully apostatized after 33 years. And now he's gone. He's been gone for 2 or 3 years now. And he's still filling that cup up. Says right here, he goeth on still in his trespasses. Brother Johnson was giving a message in 2002. Repent. Turn the congregation around. Call everybody in. We got a crisis. So he rejected it. And he went on in his trespasses. He went on. But Yahweh said, I will bring again from Bashan. He said, I'm going to bring again from Bashan. What does it mean when he says that? I'm going to bring again from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And who is that one he's going to bring? He's going to bring the 144,000. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. He said, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. Well, he brought them from the depths of the Red Sea and the tide, and he brought them out of Egypt. It took 40 years, though, to finally bring a remnant through the depths of the sea. And then notice what I said, he brought a remnant of those that came out of Egypt 40 years earlier. Likewise today, it's only going to be a remnant. And who is that remnant? The 144,000 he's going to bring through the depths of the sea. Okay, Psalms 68:23. That thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O Yahweh, even the goings of my Yahweh, my King, in the sanctuary. Said the enemies, they have seen the goings, O Yahweh, even the goings of my Savior, my King, Yahshua, in the sanctuary as the high priest, officiating on a daily basis in the holy place, and then officiating in the most holy place. But Yahshua couldn't do this while he was here on earth, or even before the Old Testament was over, because he was of the tribe of Judah, and there was nowhere in the law of Moses where it mentioned the priesthood of the tribe of Judah. So this is a prophecy for our day, this Psalm 68. It's the prophecy for our day when Yahshua can be the high priest of the seed of David of the tribe of Judah. And that's what he is today. And then that qualifies him to legally, legitimately, be our prophet, priest, and king here in this 12th hour, which we sorely need him at this time. The singers went before the players on instruments, followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Blessed be Yahweh in the congregations, even the Yahweh from the foundation, from the fountain of the Israel. Let's do that again. Blessed be the Yahweh, the Yahshua. Blessed be the Yahshua, the Son, in the congregations, even the Yahshua from the fountain of Israel. Where is that fountain? That's the fountain for sin and uncleanness. You'll find that right there. And you'll find that in Zechariah chapter 13. You'll find that in Zechariah chapter 13. Let's go read it. It says that in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now here David here in the Psalms out of his own mouth, his words, he says there in Psalms 68:26, blessed be the Yahshua and the congregation, even the Yahshua from the fountain of the Israel. Okay, that fountain of the Israel is also that river coming out of the altar there in the sanctuary in Ezekiel 47. The river that floweth east and west, it goes east and west, and it goes north and south, and it covers the whole world. It's the river of life. It's that flowing fountain for sin and uncleanness. That's that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. That's so right here in Zechariah 13. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua the Holy, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more remembered. And that's exactly what happened down at Hermon. Instead of a legacy being born there with the prophet and the angel of the seventh candlestick, instead of a legacy and a legend being created there by the one and only that could have filled that position, that was Brother Johnson, in that time zone of the 11th third body hour. And so, therefore, instead of him being remembered, he's forgotten. Because he didn't obey that key message that was given to him July the 14th, 2002. To repent and call a crisis and call an emergency and call the people in today. Tell them to come and hear this message that I got from heaven. He called it a lie. He said it wasn't so. He rebelled against it and he went on in his trespass. It says so. Right there, over here in the Psalm 68, said he went on in his trespasses, verse 21. It says, but Yahweh will wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Alright, it says in Zechariah 13, verse 2, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. We got plenty of false prophets and unclean spirits right now by the millions here in the United States and all over the world, especially in the land of Israel. When he talks about cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, he's talking about the land of the United States where the prophecies had their beginning for their fulfillment these latter days, and then it goes on into Israel. But Israel and the land of the United States, the prophecies are fulfilling simultaneously at the same time for the same reason. Mm-hmm. Let's go on in Zechariah 13, verse 3. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that beget him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies. In the name of the Yahshua and Yahweh, his father, and his father and his mother that beget him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision, When he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend, a wakeful sword against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Okay, now what does it say? Who is this? Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Who was this? Brother W. Johnson, Angel of the Seventh Candlestick, Kermit, Texas, 2002. That's when this prophecy made its fulfillment. Saith the Yahshua of the host, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Well, P.T. Hardoff died as a shepherd of Israel in 1955, and the Davidian wool scattered to the four corners of the world. Well, Brother Johnson died, and all of his flock scattered to who knows where. Alright. And it says here in Zechariah 13, verse 8, it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Yahshua, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. So two parts are wicked. Two thirds are wicked. One third is righteous. And I will bring the third part to the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my Elohim. That is Zechariah chapter 13. Now let's get back to our original reading. We were in Psalms 68. Let's see what more we have to say here. Verse 27. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah, and their council, the princes of Zebulun, and princes of Naphtali. For thy Yahweh hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O Yahweh, that which thou hast wrought for us. So I'm asking Yahweh to strengthen the house of David today, that which he has wrought for us. Strengthen us, we need it. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Because of your temple at Jerusalem. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people. Shall every one submit himself with pieces of silver? Scatter thou the people that delight in more. So those that delight in more, it says scatter them. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto the Yahweh. Ethiopia is in northern Africa, in the northern eastern part of Africa. Sing unto Yahweh, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Yahweh, unto him that rideth upon the heavens of the heaven, of the heavens which were of the old. Lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto the Yahweh. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. What's in the clouds? What do you mean his strength is in the clouds? When they came out of Egypt, who was in that cloud above Israel there in the wilderness? It was the rock. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:4, he said that rock that was in the clouds was Yahshua. That's Yahweh's strength. So those clouds are coming back. We're going to have repeated that. And this tabernacle, the temple, is going to be in those clouds right above us. Say so there in Isaiah 4. Okay. O Yahweh, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The Elohim of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be the Yahweh. My sins are not hid from thee. That's the story told here in Psalm 69. So this concludes our study here. I'm going to read the last verse of Isaiah 68. I'm talking about this. This concludes this chapter. Verse 35. O Yahweh, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. That means the holy place and the most holy place, the two apartments of the sanctuary. The Elohim of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be the Yahweh. Okay, that ends number 68. Now let's try to get back to our reading in Tantric Reading, volume 1, 33. It says, though the Yahweh permitted his ancient kingdom to be taken by the Gentiles, this scripture shows that he will soon deliver it. Not only will he deliver his people on Mount Zion, but he will defend them too. Isaiah 31:5-6. As birds flying, so will the Yahshua of the host defend Jerusalem. We just read about those chariots there, 20,000 of them coming down from heaven out of Psalm 68. And it says, as birds flying, well, flying saucers, so will the Yahshua of the host defend Jerusalem. He said he brought thousands of angels with him. Well, those thousands of angels are the pilots of those flying saucers. And they're also his soldiers. You have 20,000 pilots of those flying saucers. You got 20,000 chariots, flying saucers. You got 20,000 angels that are pilots of them. And then you got 100 million angels that are the soldiers. And not only that, but then it develops into 200 million angels there in Revelation 9:16. And they join 200 million foot soldiers here on this earth. So you have 400 million strong army right there in Revelation 9:16. 100 million heavenly soldiers joining 100 million earthly soldiers. Okay, and then you got Yahshua with 20,000 chariots that are flying all over the skies, all over the world. And tell you what, this is going to be quite a battle. It's going to be a lopsided, though. It's going to be one-sided. Heaven's going to win this one in big fashion. And they're not going to lose not one soul. They're not going to lose not one individual in this great battle. But the enemy is going to lose all of them. All of them are going to be destroyed. All of them. Millions of them. But not one soul from the saints are going to be lost. So it says, Isaiah 31:5-6, as birds flying, so will the Yahshua of the host defend Jerusalem. That's the headquarters for the house of David and the tribe of Judah. Defending also he will deliver it, and passing over he will preserve it. Okay, it says, turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Having now come to the time of their deliverance, the Yahshua is pleading with his people to turn unto him to reform. Okay, Isaiah 31:7, for in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver, and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. To turn unto him, he explained, is to cast away every idol. When such great revival and reformation takes place among all his people, he continued. Isaiah 31:8-9. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for the fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. And is made up of the house of David, Yahshua antypical David as a visible earthly king, and as Yahshua, the invisible earthly king, having come down from heaven. Alright, so it says, saith Yahshua, whose fire is in Zion, that's in Zion. When it says Zion, it's talking about house of David, tribe of Judah. That's your Zion today. And his furnace is in Jerusalem. That's where the headquarters for the capital of Judah is at. The headquarters. This is where the capital is at. It's where the temple is at. This is where the kingly palace crown is at. Because of the idolatry, the Assyrian was permitted to take Yahweh's ancient people and their present land, and certain it is that the Assyrian will control the land just so long as Yahweh's people continue in idolatry. But just as soon as all idols are cast aside, yes, as soon as the great revival and reformation takes place in the hearts of the people, then the Assyrian, the power that now rules them, shall certainly fall. And Yahweh's people shall just as certainly return. For the Assyrian shall thus fall, not at the sword of a mighty man, and not of a mean man, but through the voice of the Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, Isaiah 32:1-8. Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And who does Sister say this great rock, the shadow of this great rock in a weary land? They're coming out of Egypt with the children of Israel by Moses, led by Moses into the wilderness. What did he do? He'd bring them to a big rock, and he would smoke that rock, and out of it would come forth rushing rivers of water, to water the cattle, water the people, and so forth. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Yahweh, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Turn again unto his ancient people. Inspiration declared that though their kingdom was doomed to fall, yet one day a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And in that day a man shall be as an hiding place, as water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And, Isaiah 32:2, that though the people were spiritually blind and could not see, yet there is a day coming when those who have eyes shall clearly see, and those who have ears shall plainly hear, that the heart of the righteous shall then understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammer be ready to speak plainly, that the vile person shall then be recognized as vile, and the churl shall be no more be called bountiful, that the vile persons and hypocrites shall be known as those who speak error against Yahweh, and who endeavor to cheat the spiritually hungry and thirsty souls. That on the other hand, the churl will be seen to be those who devise wicked means by which to make the poor, even poor, Isaiah 32:7. It says, Isaiah 32:9-14. Rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice, you churlish daughter. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled. Ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail. The gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tits, for the pleasant field, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy and the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken. For the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and the tower shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flock. Okay, let's look at this now. It says, Pete Hollis explanation of what I just read. The women here referred to are doubtless Ahola and Aholabah, found in Ezekiel 23. The figurative names of Judah and Israel. Here is described their dispersion among the Gentiles, the punishment which they were to bear. Now, you wonder why the Adventists are all over the world and all nations? It's because they have been dispersed all over the world of the Gentiles. They were raised up here and have their headquarters in the United States, and they end up being dispersed all over the world. And yet the three angels' messages didn't call for that. They didn't call for missionary work to be done all over the world. I say it didn't, but the Adventists, they had to follow up on what William Miller prophesied all over the world, and Adventists followed up with him. It says that the Adventists were to prophesy again before many nations, yeah. But they was only supposed to prophesy the three angels' messages and nothing else. But since they didn't do that, and they got into all those Gentile lands with the three angels' messages, and then they became captives in those lands, and they went and joined the enemy, and they stopped missionary work, they stopped prophesying the three angels' message, they quit all of that. That's what it says right here. Ahola and Aholabah, Ezekiel 23. The figurative names of Judah and Israel. So Judah is the house of David. That's Gilead's center, when this prophecy made its fulfillment. And Israel is your 10 tribes, headquarters for the Adventists at the General Conference headquarters in the north. Here is described their dispersion among the Gentiles, the punishment which they were to bear. Okay, so now whenever the 144,000 comes forth, the tares that are left in the Adventist church, they're dispersed among all the Gentile nations in Babylon. Okay. But then after that, though, a second call to come out of Babylon for the remnant of Yahweh's people that are in Babylon. While the terrors of the Adventist church have been dispersed among the Gentiles and the Babylonian countries, there's going to be a call for a remnant to come out of Babylon to come back this way. And they're going to come into the kingdom of Yahweh in Jerusalem. All right. On high. Let's get that again. Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and their fruitful field be counted for a forest. We are told. Here we are told that the people are to be among the Gentiles, and the land remain desolate until the Spirit be poured upon them from on high. Then will they return. Then will they return. Okay, so a remnant is going to return after the Adventists and Israel, Ahola and Aholabah has been dispersed among all the Gentile nations. Then a remnant is going to return, and you'll find that returning found there in the prophecy of Ezekiel 20. It said, we have now already seen the reason for the dispersion, and that the pouring of the Spirit marks the people's deliverance. Yes, then no longer will their land be in captivity, and no longer will their houses be desolate. Even the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. There shall be then an abundant harvest of souls. Isaiah 32:16-20. And then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain the fruit fulfilled. Where did judgment start in our day? It started in the wilderness, out in the far reaches of West Texas, out there in the desert, out there among the sand dunes, out there among the coyotes and the rattlesnakes, and all of that kind of animals that occupy a desert place, the jackals and all of the ravens and the hawks and all the unclean things. Okay? So it says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwelling place, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be full, shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. And Brother Johnson always boasted about Kermit being described as a city in a low place, in which indeed it was. It was out in the far reaches of West Texas. It was out there at the edge of civilization before going into New Mexico. And it was out there among the sand dunes and the wild stuff. Okay, blessed are ye that sow beside our waters. Now, what have we learned from these two chapters of Isaiah? Actually, we have had a summary of the subject which the previous chapters treated. Now, even more vividly than before, we see the ancient Israel's idolatry forced Yahweh to permit them to be ruled by the Assyrian. Who is the Assyrian today? This is your Catholic Church that's ruling over all Protestantism, including the Adventist Church. He is, however, well able to deliver them when his people hear his plea and lay aside their idols. But Yahweh pled with the angel of the seventh candlestick, let us see, at Roland Johnson there in 2002. He pled with him to lay aside all your idols. Listen, hear my plea. Come and do what my servant tells you to do, my true witness. When they turn again unto the Yahweh, when his great revival and reformation called for in this chapter is finally effected, thus it is that through the voice of the Yeshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down. This is the beast. This Assyrian is Babylon. This is the beast, which smote with a rod, not the rod of Yahweh, but with a rod of his own. Isaiah 30:31. In other words, the rod represents government. So he smote with his socialistic, communistic government. Isaiah 30:31. Henceforth a king shall reign in righteousness. Then the vile persons and hypocrites shall be treated as such. In that day shall there be a great and glorious harvest of souls. Now that we have plainly seen the time, the need, and the deliverance, let us, brother, sister, bring that day closer by parting with all our idols and turning our hearts fully and unreservedly unto our Yahweh. Now, isn't this amazing? That was the last thing we dealt with Brother W. Johnson in Kermit, Texas, and his wife. We gave him a book on fossilized custom, and it talked about all what constituted idolatry in the world, not just the church, but also in the world. And birthdays are the first thing mentioned. And Christmas is a birthday. And Brother Johnson condemned the president of the Adventist conference there in Dallas. He accused him of idolatry by celebrating having about 25 different churches come into that Dallas one Sabbath. Representatives of 25 different Adventist churches come in there, and they had a celebration for a Christmas celebration, and the local conference president, Ben Leach, he was there giving the keynote address, and he was really boasting the need for observing Christmas with the heathen. And Brother Johnson approached him after the sermon, and service is over outside, he says, but don't you know, Ben Leach, that that is a pagan? Don't you know it's idolatry? And he says, yes, I know, brother. But we don't do it for the same reason that they did it for. But who created it? The pagans is the ones that created that birthday celebration. And they made Yahshua's a false birthday, and then they set it up as a pagan feast that they observed once a year. And there, Roland Johnson was condemning it, and rightfully so, and then Roland Johnson turns around and upholds the celebration of the members' birthday there at Gilead Center. And on the Day of Atonement, no less. The last one that Catherine and I boycotted. And boy, that is what brought down, because the first testimony I got after we boycotted that celebration of that birthday on Atonement was I heard from Amy, Alan DeLong's wife. Her son, Joel, was one that we were celebrating a birthday on the Day of Atonement, and she's the one that said to me one day, why do we feel under judgment to the Brunkins over these birthdays? She said, the church feels under judgment. Like you had said, that we're under judgment to the Brunkins. And I said, well, I never thought about it that way, but I don't know. I didn't know what else to say to her. Okay. And turning our hearts fully and unreservedly into our elder hand. Well, they refused to do that. Yes, we did boycott. We brought judgment upon the Gilead Center through boycotting those birthdays after we gave them the information that it was all pagan. We weren't going to have no part in it no more. That's why Yahweh delivered us out of there. That's why we're sitting here today doing what we're doing. Okay, that's the end of... let's go back now. We just got a few minutes. Let's pick up Planet Green, Volume 1. Number 31. This is very good. We're going to go back to this. Fathers preferred deceit, their children given grace. What is it talking about? The fathers in the wilderness coming out of Egypt, they preferred deceit, but their children at the end of 40 years was given grace.
That's number 32. That's number
32. Actually, that's Town of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 32. Fathers preferred deceit, their children given grace. Okay, it says, we shall study the 13th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the very first verse. Here, as in other chapters of Isaiah's prophecy, you will notice that a part of the chapter, in this instance, the first 17 verses, speaks of the sins of ancient Israel, the fathers of the antitypical Israel, and of their fall from power, but the remainder of the chapter speaks of Israel in the latter days, the days in which antitypical Israel rises to power, that is now considered. Isaiah 30, verse 1 and 2. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin unto sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of the Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. What does it mean, trust in the shadow of Egypt? Well, they were supposed to come out into the wilderness and trust in the shadow of that rock that represented Yahshua. That's the shadow that they're supposed to trust in. But instead, they wanted to stay under the shadow of Egypt. Evidently, Yahweh's people in those days were guilty of these sins. Instead of trusting the Elohim to deliver them from their enemies, they trusted in the Pharaoh. What a poor support to lean on. As a result, they were plainly told, Isaiah 30, verse 3 to 7, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. So what was, we were doing at Gilead Center for 33 years, we were trusting in the shadow of Egypt. We were trusting in confusion. And that confusion started on at the Passover of 1971, when Brother Johnson gave his sacred hour at the ninth hour on the Passover day at Old Mount Carmel and Waco, Texas. He gave that to the devil's disciple, Brother McElroy, that was head of a charismatic Trinitarian school, church. He was filled with the unclean spirit, and he had four henchmen, and he come and asked permission to speak at our sacred hour, and Brother Johnson granted him permission and gave his desk. And that was the most important meeting of Brother Johnson's whole 33-year career. That was the most important hour and the most important meeting, because he was out to get the rodents to join him and to become the wave chief offering. And on the very hour that he's going to call for that, he gave it over to the devil and let the devil take over and split the congregation and bring unclean spirit into our midst. And Brother Johnson allowed it all. And that's what made his ministry for 33 years a failure. Where his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to hang, they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach, a burden of the beasts of the south, and to the land of the trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old, lion, the viper, and the firefly and serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, unto a people that shall not profit them, for the Egyptians shall help in vain, and unto no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning their strength, is to sit still. This, as you know, is exactly what befell Elohim's ancient people. How much better it is to sit still, to wait on the Yahweh for help, when you are helpless, than to solicit the help of his enemies. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. True, they killed the prophets for warning the people of their sin, but Elohim decreed that the prophets' writings against the existing sins must remain intact to be read as object lessons by the generations that were to follow thereafter. Yahweh's people of the day therefore have no excuse for repeating the mistakes of their predecessors. If they do repeat the sins of those who have gone before them, however, then their guilt will bring upon them even greater doom than was brought upon the Jews. And if no one can deny that Isaiah's prophecies against the Jews were fulfilled, then who can dare say that they will not be fulfilled? Okay, this brings in Vestitius, our contact us. Just a minute. And if no one can deny that Isaiah's prophecies against the Jews were fulfilled, then who can dare say that they will not be fulfilled against us if we failed as they did? This brings the close of our studies. Our contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Dusty roads and sandal feet.
I have reason to believe that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads and he led me. How can Christ be to come get his burden all alone as he journeyed alone on the road to Calvary? Dusty roads and the feet, oh, the daddy was. Place in the land.
demons heal the blind. And that's part of the reason that they're gathering. Dusty roads and sandal feet, old Danny was complete from the manger stable top. He was gonna shake to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. Author of the story, Dusty Rose and Dusty. I have reason to believe in the man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads he and me. Often crossed it from Gettysburg and all along as he journeyed along. Son, don't speak. How would you like to meet that man named Joshua coming down your street? Would you be like Zacchaeus in front of a banner tree? Or would you be like Jonah who wanted to be? Just he rose for his companion, desert places his approach, and don't often we're beyond the need of the Lord. Never complained, he went along the way, on the way to the coffin and the judgment day. Dusty roads and no feet, oh, that he was complete from the manger to the cross. To those golden streets, to a place in the land. Thank you.